Good evening. What you are about to witness is not for the RPG faint of heart. Elder Brain proudly presents not just Thomas Martin, who's with me here tonight, but we're going to run a special trailer because a picture and a YouTube trailer is definitely worth 1,000 words. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting opportunity to listen, to watch, to learn about someone very special out there in the RPG land, Attack of Opportunity Live. Today, we are talking to Tom Martin from, well, he actually is the COO of the Elder Brain Incorporated. I like that. Like, Elder Brain is cool enough a name for a company, but you just put Incorporated behind it. One of the 3 and 4 outstanding gentlemen that bring you the world of Argalon? I'm going to say this wrong, I know. Agrilon. I got that right? Possibly. The company is based in the U.S., but several members are actually stationed writing and bringing you extremely good content from Budapest, Hungary, of all places, which personally I think is really cool. They also have recently launched a free app called Elder Brain Soundscapes for ambient. I mean, everyone knows I'm a big tabletop audio fan, but you know, I've talked to the author, and he's allowed to say I'm allowed to see other sound creators, so you know, I'm dying to dig into that as well. So would you please welcome Mr. Tom Martin? Thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. How's everyone? And I'm great to be here.
Now, we've shifted our focus of Attack of Opportunity to, we're trying to do a live show. So this is going out live, and we encourage you, if you're, even if you come in last minute, to either email, if you're listening to us later, and I will forward these questions to Tom, or right here in the show, ask your questions of Tom. And when we get to a special Q&A segment, we will filter through them, and you have a chance to actually get your questions answered by Mr. Martin. But the very first question that we always like to ask our guests, Mr. Martin, how did you first know that you were a geek, a nerd, one of us?
Well, I was pretty young. Actually, with one of the co-authors, David, who's in Houston, we grew up together, and we created our own game. We were probably around maybe 6 years old, and we set up a Lego world, like a medieval, you know, Legoland with like 5 castles and terrain and armies, basically. And we created our own rule system with 6-sided dice. And I guess that was kind of role-playing in a sense, you know?
Damn, like you were into it, like right out of the gate. You got Lego for minis and you got your buddy there going, how old were you?
I think six. Elementary school. So like first grade elementary school.
Wow.
And the entire room, I remember, was set up and with, you know, felt, green felt, kind of, you know, cloth for the terrain. So we made like hills and, you know, valleys, and we had cavalry units and archery units, and then it was the most fun I had. And then, you know, once when we started with second edition tabletop RPGs, so it was D&D second edition was our kind of entry into gaming.
Yeah, I got to interrupt you and ask, like, so I'm picturing a 6-year-old kid in Hungary compared to like myself in Canada or in the States, you know, the North American nerds or whatever. Are Hungary mums and dads like cool about this kind of thing? Like, obviously they bought you all the Lego, but do they come in the room going, "What are you doing? Why aren't you going to play the football? You know, what are you doing? What is this big huge mess?" You know, that kind of thing.
They wanted us to go outside for sure. And you know, be in the sunshine and get some fresh air, but they were cool.
sorry to stereotype whatever, but I have to ask, because one thing I actually love about interviewing international guests is an RPG is something that the world enjoys. And whether it's in Britain, Germany, Hungary, or whatever, you know, you're playing the same game pretty much the same way. And I just think it's something cool internationally that brings, that can and does bring people together. Was there a defining moment for you? Like, you're playing your D6 version of Lego or whatever, did it, you were just, as I interrupted you, you know, does that just snowball from there at six? You know, or was there a defining moment for you where you just realized that, like, there is nothing else but this? It's RPGs, it's Lego, it's, you know, tabletop, that type of thing that takes up a big part of the lifestyle.
I wouldn't say there was a defining moment. It's definitely helped that two of my best friends were actually in the company, you know, with us together. So us three are the founders, and we've been playing together for over 25 years. And, you know, same crew. So just the three of us with people joining in. So of course it's a, you know, bigger crowd, but the three of us are the most stable members of our gaming group. And that's been the same for the past 25 years plus.
Oh man, so, that's just sorry, just tearing up. Your friends went into business with you. I wish my cast and friends in my cast would go into business with me and share the debt. You know, I'm talking to you, Messina, and Hammond, and the rest. No, I'm just kidding. My guys are very supportive, and they do actually shoulder quite a lot for me. But you've blown through 5 questions. Like, this is a record. Like, usually I say, oh, that's great, you've actually answered 2 questions, right? It's like, how long have you been a gamer? Well, I guess since you were 6. How long have you been playing RPGs? Actually, Jeff, I made them when I was 6. It's just like, all right, I think I need a new template to go off of here, though. This is good. So let's talk about, have you always homebrewed stuff? Like, have you branched out? Did you try the classic D&Ds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, that kind of thing? Or all the plethora of indie games, as they're called, like all the Apocalypse games and all the D6 WAG Star Wars, which branched out into other D6 games that actually never really went away. There's so many RPGs out there that are been around for 30 years and no one even knew. Did you, as you rose through the ranks and the years, you know, drudged by, can you give us a list? Inspiration?
I can try. It's going to be an extensive one. So we started playing second edition D&D. I do own some of the first edition, you know, rule books, like the basic starter set. So I definitely read the, you know, the oldest versions of D&D there is. Unfortunately, it's in my library, which is not this room, so I can't show you the proof. You know, from second edition, we went to third and then 3.5 and played a lot of Pathfinder, you know, first edition Pathfinder, skipped fourth edition. So that wasn't really for us. And then recently, so for the past couple of years, we've been playing fifth edition and we're getting ready to get into Pathfinder 2E. And then, you know, that's just the kind of classic Dungeons & Dragons games. But we really enjoy, actually, Star Wars games. We play a lot of Call of Cthulhu, Ars Magica, Shadowrun, Conan,
Yeah, you really can't have a company called Elder Brain without being totally into Illithids and Mind Flayers like Baldur's Gate 3 is going to explore, or into Call of Cthulhu, because like I love the logo here. For the podcasting audience, you can't see this, but I'm pointing at a really cool black and white logo of a human brain done in the black ink with sort of a... It looks like a pinwheel of sharpened tail tentacles. I don't know how to describe this. Let's take a closer look. Can you tell us about this logo while I'm just blasting it? It looks like devil tails. You know, the classic cartoony pointed devil tail, but they're all curled and looks like he can roll on them like a pinwheel.
It's a tentacle brain. What's the basic concept?
Okay, no, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're big into Call of Cthulhu, and actually just to give you some more background. So our day job is creating computer games. So we're Gabor and I we're actually developing a game called Hero Grinder. Which is based on a D20 system. So it's a sci-fi game, turn-based strategy game, kind of turn-based strategy arena combat. And that's our day job. So of course the rule system for that is our own. And it's based on a D20, of course, you know, because that's what we know. And actually the game designer friend of ours, who's kind of the play tester for our modules, Michael. He's the biggest geek I know, and he's played probably the most types of role playing games there are. You know, so every single one you can. I don't think you can name a system that he hasn't tried or gotten into. And it's good to have somebody like that, you know, in your corner who can just run ideas by him and see what stats work and what don't.
I love the name Hero Grinder. That's the name. Hero of this Grinder. Is there a beta for this? Or we definitely got to put some links in the bio with your social links that we put up.
Sure. We're about two years away from beta, so it's a big project. Maybe 14 people working on it. It's a bit of a ways off, but we have a lot of 3D assets that are already finished. The interface is more or less done, and we have a character building little app on Steam that you can check out. I'll share the links. For sure.
Something original I remember from the old Xbox game KOTAR, the Knights of the Republic, was there was a page you could flip to while you're playing, and it showed the math. It showed the computer, you know, rolling the D20s against saves and stuff. You didn't get to see it when you were playing. You just assumed it was happening in the turns or whatever. And it's like, as if they were just like, we're not faking this. They showed you like the line of code of like 1D20 plus your modifier for your save and this against that power that you just shot off and everything. And I just thought that was neat for someone that knew tabletop games like myself. I was speaking with a new coworker, and he's a KOTAR fanatic, and he never knew what that page was. So I guess what I'm getting at is, in your beta or like in the game, you said it's based on a D20, but it's turn-based. Are the dice relevant when you're playing, or is it all hidden in the mechanics of the the visual?
It's hidden for sure. But I mean, we will have a kind of log file option, so people can view definitely, see what the randomness, behind the actions will be. But since D20 systems can be super complicated, and we wanted to make a fast game, we don't want to show too much of that. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I gotcha. Now
it would bog down the game with him.
Yeah, no, I don't want to slow your roll, but I was just curious. How long have you been making content? Like a lot of our go-to are like we interview podcasters, music creators. You're actually creating a world that is 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder compatible. The Kickstarter, it's out in 2 weeks?
It's in 2 weeks on the 20th.
We start. Now, I'm assuming this may not be your first project, though it is your biggest and current project. So let's talk about Still Focused on You a little bit. How long have you been creating content for Elderbrain, or how long have you been creating content yourself under another name?
Well, for our gaming sessions for a long time. for decades.
I meant publicly public consumption, whether free or otherwise.
Publicly, just recently, so about 2 years now. Our first module is called the Year of Rogue Dragons, and that's a Forgotten Realms adventure.
Yeah, that's like one of the calendar dates.
Exactly. It's a good catch. It takes place during the Year of Rogue Dragons, during the Draco Rage period in FR, and it's four dragon characters, so playable. It's to be played with evil dragon characters, so chromatic dragons, and we just released it last year. It's a platinum seller on DM's Guild already, so I would highly recommend to check that out. And then we were thinking, actually, and that's where Crown of the Oathbreaker came from. You know, we were thinking, what should be the next adventure that we write?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that you're writing for Forgotten Realms, like the Drizztuin world, Forgotten Realms that I personally played on for like 20 odd years. Like, let's go back in time here before you launched this, like maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago. You just phone up your good friend Ed Greenwood. Hey, Ed, I got this idea. No, I know you're saving, your dragons for something epic, but I want it. And he's like, okay. Like, how did you get that?
Well, we play a lot in FR. So Forgotten Realms is definitely our favorite, I would say, world. To play in a lot of the adventures or adventure paths that we played in the past, we kind of set into FR. So, for example, Kingmaker for Pathfinder, we played with a Zentrim party. So I was the GM there. And it was a bunch of evil, Zent agents who were sent there to take over and build a kingdom, for the Zent, for the Black Network. so most of the adventures we did were in the realms. Year of Rogue Dragons seemed to be for dragon characters, especially evil ones. It was the perfect kind of backdrop to have the rage as like a continual effect throughout the module, and then have like I'm sure you're familiar with all this stuff, but the Cult of the Dragon is one of the factions there, and Zentrim as well, which has a cool dragon like logo in the new one, with like a black kind of wyvern-ish dragon character, and that's where that came from.
Actually, we
got in contact with Mr. Briars, who wrote the novel,
okay,
which is about the Year of Rogue Dragons, and we got an endorsement from him, so that was pretty cool.
So this is official Wizards of the Coast backed stuff. They're not going to like sue you or you did a loophole called
definitely not.
Of Rogue Dragons, and they that's not copyright. That's our own thing, and you can't. No, that's awesome, man. That is so cool. Burning through time here, like fast forward to now, the trailer that I just ran for Crown of the Oathbreaker. I love the fact that you have your own gaming world, but you've decided to license and set it in here's your 5th edition and Pathfinder compatible. Well, when you say Pathfinder, do you mean 2nd edition, which is a little bit closer in the rule set to 5e, or is it 1st edition?
It would be 2nd. But recently we've gotten a lot of feedback about 3.5. So a lot of people were writing to us that and asking whether it's going to be available in or which edition it is for Pathfinder. Mm-hmm. And we might do or actually it's in the plan to do a back conversion.
A conversion guide, yeah. Usually it's first to second.
It's going to be a contra conversion or a pre-conversion in this case.
Yeah. going, what do they call it? Backward compatibility.
Backward compatibility.
Well, they have the, they have that for like consoles, right? Is this adventure backward compatible to? No, that's good to know. And I'm glad you're saying this, you know, like now publicly. So
with Pathfinder, it's I think easier than you know converting 5e to 3.5. That's going to be harder for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, can we talk about the world of Agrilon a little bit? Like what the basic premises of the world? Is it a Dark Knight Cthulhu kind of thing? Is it a post-apocalyptic leftover medieval branding? You know, I know she had a lot of sort of. A lot of that witch hunt, occult, juju on string bones kind of feel with mud paste glowing tats on people's faces. And it gives a real feel for some of this, maybe some of the baddies, unless those are the characters, you know, that might pop up in this adventure. Can you talk a little bit sort of like the over synopsis of the world or where you focus in one continent for this?
Sure. So the whole concept for Crown of the Oathbreaker came from a survey. Which we did. So we were thinking, you know, what should be the next adventure that we write? And we really couldn't decide. We had so many great ideas. And we had this thought to actually ask the community. So we created a massive, and I would say it's probably the biggest, I put money on this, that it's the biggest D&D survey ever. It's about 150 questions, 154 questions to be exact. And we asked what people like to play, you know, what's the optimal or the perfect adventure that people would want to play. And really breaking it down into, you know, the setting, the plot elements, the dungeon elements, how magic should be, what kind of monsters people like, and how people, you know, what kind of characters or PC options people enjoy. Mm-hmm. And really going into in really in depth about this, so the whole adventure, you know, every aspect of it is reflective of the survey. So, for example, the setting, people, you know, the community decided that they enjoy, you know, dark and high fantasy. So the world itself is a dark, really dark and you know, but classic kind of fantasy setting. Actually, the most historical settings were the you know, medieval historical settings were the most popular. So we decided that it should be a kingdom then, you know, with a king and knights and, you know, like
a monarchy, kind of, a monarchy,
a monarchy, classic you know, medieval style land. And but the story should be a dark one. And actually, the plot centered around an artifact. So people decided that an artifact should be the main kind of plot theme, and that's why it's the crown. And the most popular villain, or you know, arch enemy or nemesis, was an anti-paladin. So the Oathbreaker, in this sense, is Karsnar, the Oathbreaker, who is the arch villain. And it's going to be a sandbox adventure. So people prefer sandbox over kind of linear storylines.
The arch villain, is this the guy all wreathed in flames with the halberd? And his tail is helping?
And with the tentacles. So it's
this is the guy.
That's the guy. Awesome. And he's a warlock, paladin, or anti-paladin, aberrant. So there's a little bit of an aberration going on there. I don't want to do too many spoilers here, but I mean, I guess it's obvious. And the flames you can see around him, that's hellfire. So there's going to be a fiendish aspect to Karsnar as well.
Right on. Well, getting into something maybe a customer draw or something unique in the world, my choice, because I'm dying to ask you about this creature, is the battle snail. Like, this is awesome. This is awesome on so many levels, man. Like, what was the birth of this creature? Like, can you tell us?
Sure.
Why, is it in the lore? Is this you guys just trying to be fun with the dark, like, with the dark side a little? Like,
well. Well, one of the questions was what kind of thing do people want to customize? And the question, you know, there were different options there. So building or an organization, you know, and basically with stats and stuff like that. So the most popular answer was an organism, you know. So we were thinking what should be the kind of funkiest, you know, creature to customize. And we decided on this battle snail. So it's a huge snail with a metallic, you know, kind of armored shell. And, you know, the players will have the chance to free this creature from the clutches of a cannibal kind of fungus, you know, underdark fungus village, a village of cannibalistic fungoids. So this battle snail, unfortunately, the poor snail has a parasitic fungus growing in its brain, which actually allows the players to control it, and we'll have a bunch of customizable options for the snail, including, you know, like a command platform and different harnesses and saddles and you know, stuff that you can feed it to improve the breath weapon, and
yeah,
which is a slimy breath weapon. Obviously,
I'm looking at this thing, and there's like two people. It's like it spit its own little goo trail to slide on, and there's people completely covered, barely sliding out of it. And this thing is like three people tall. It looks like it's like 20-foot monster. You know,
it's
like
the size of an elephant. Yep.
Yeah, like this thing is freaking awesome and huge. Can you talk about like who did the artwork for these? This is really good looking stuff.
Sure. We're blessed with two guys, David and Jolt. They're some of the most talented artists that we've met through our, you know, and we're in the, you know, gaming space, so we work with a lot of illustrators and graphic artists. Mm-hmm. And they worked for Year of Rogue Dragons as well. So that's where the contact came from. And we're just floored by their style and really talent. And we decided to hire them for the project. You know, they started working on art for Crown of the Oathbreaker about 2 months ago. And we have a lot of art pieces that are not public yet. So that will release during the Kickstarter, you know, in the form of updates and posts. So definitely, you know, you should keep your eyes peeled for you know, upcoming art, because we've received, actually today I received some new pieces and they're incredible.
Yeah, I'm just posting some of the links that you've given me, as well as a link to your Discord server. So you already have, is this the server like just for announcements and up and coming of what you got going, or is this where fans of your previous products can hang out and talk about what's coming in the world of Oggeron? Or,
well, we the Discord was specifically launched for kind of deeper analysis of the survey, so to really you know, throw some ideas around. And a lot of it's a great place where fans and people can actually give their input into the adventure itself. So it's a great channel to really, you know, influence the adventure itself and the product. And a lot of great ideas came from dedicated you know, members there who you know, gave us insight into question specific you know, ideas from the survey.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're watching this live, check the chat. I have included as many links as I can. Something else I noticed about the artwork is, it didn't stand out for some reason, is that is a floating green glowing crown. Yeah. I thought it was something wrapped around the tree or a symbol, but now I actually realize that actually is the crown that you were speaking of, and you said you made that like an iconic item of the world. And this book becomes available when? Or when are you hoping you have a target release?
Well, our plan is to, and let's knock on wood that the campaign will be successful. So we launched the Kickstarter on the 20th of October, so to be concluded on November 20th. So it's going to be a 30-day campaign.
So we can get in the ground floor. Like, your Kickstarter hasn't even opened, and, like, you know, all the goodies that come with being the beta guys, as it were, and are up for grabs. That's what you're saying, yes?
Sorry?
I'm just saying, like, this isn't out on a shelf. You are about to launch the Kickstarter itself, which is the funding for the finished product. And from what I know of Kickstarter, the people that get in on this on the ground floor get the best benefits up front through the tiers, yep. And you get all the extras and that kind of thing. And, of course, it helps fund the actual final product.
Absolutely. So we'll finish the adventure no matter what. But since we want to create a super professional product, so it's going to be a 300-pager, so a massive module with a player's guide and a campaign setting included in those 300 pages, and about 150 illustrations, which is muchos dineros. So it costs a lot of money to, you know, custom design 25 battle maps, for example. And palace layout and, you know, elements like that. So and to have, you know, half page illustrations for all the scenes, and it's a design heavy product. We want to reach out to the community, and since, you know, it was a community driven project to begin with, Kickstarter seemed like a great platform to get that started. And we are offering, you know, great rewards. Of course, the adventure itself in PDF format. It's going to be available on DriveThruRPG, and people will have the option to print it however they want. So it can, of course, hardcover, premium, you know, print editions are pretty expensive. So we wanted to leave it up to the backers to decide what format they want to print the module. And a more economical option would, of course, be a soft cover, not premium, you know, like a normal standard format, which is much cheaper, you know. So we want to leave that option there as well. We'll have kind of booster cards, we're calling them. So for all items and NPCs, to have cards with the illustration on one side, and the, you know, stat blocks on the other side, so GM can just show the picture or give the item actually to the player, and then, you know, as a reference point, they don't have to ask the GM all the time, you know, what does the item do again, and instead of writing it down, you have the card and you have it there. Since we have two crazy talented artists, we're offering people the chance to become actually immortalized as NPCs in the adventure itself. So we'll have an early bird package where 44 people, the first 44 people, can become major NPCs in the adventure, either with their likeness. So if they send us a photo, our artists will actually draw them into as NPCs in the adventure. Or if you have a favorite somebody, or a friend, you know, it's a great present, for example, to buy your friend and have them included in you know, as art.
As an NPC. Is that purchasable through your website, or is this one of the Kickstarter tiers?
It will be a Kickstarter tier. So the first 44 people will become major NPCs.
And tier level, or just like the first 44 to like...
No, as a certain tier level. So we're looking at about $100, and that's including the cards, you know, the adventure itself in hardcover format. The booster cards is going to be a deck of 114 cards once we finish. And we have digital character sheets, both for 5e and for Pathfinder. Actually, we're offering Year of Rogue Dragons as well. Kind of in a bundle, so that would be included. And we just actually teamed up with Level Up Dice, which is a kind of premium die company based in Australia, and they make really, really cool die from special materials, so obsidian and even, you know, emeralds and stuff like that. So we'll have a die set included, and
This is all in the $100 tier.
That's all in the $100 tier.
Obsidian dice,
Not you the know, Obsidian.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, just no, no, no. We wish.
It's implied. You got to be careful what we say here. No.
Yeah, yeah. I should be. No, we haven't actually finalized what the actual dice will be, or what material I should say. It should be finalized by the end of the week. But a dice set will be included in that level, custom designed, of course, for the adventure.
That is cool.
But the artwork is the main kind of reward.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Like we joke around that there's a small cartoon picture of a captain of a relevant ship in our Star Wars campaign, and I swear the guy like drew a cartoon version of Nathan Fillion. And that's your captain. And I'm showing the artwork. I'm like, look, guys, Nathan Fillion is your captain, right? And everyone, no one disputed. I'm like, holy crap, this really looks like him. And we just thought that was the greatest thing. And I am going to call up every one of my cast members and say, dude, you guys got to pony up $100 and be immortalized because I am so down for that. Just not so egotistical to have your own face or whatever, but just such sure. a great idea. Like, what?
It's
a cool
great idea.
Idea.
And,
yeah.
and you can use it as an avatar, for example, on your social pages, or really you can buy it as a present for a friend, you know, if a birthday is coming up, it's a great present, I think. And you know, it's custom artwork, and we'll have you know, a list of all the major NPCs that are available. So people should be sharp because it's going to be a very quick, I would say, list, because for example, there's a king, you know, so I'm curious who will be the king or queen.
So you're not going to pick, you're not going to like look at 44 mugs and go, well, this guy looks like a king and we'll make him this, or, you know, this guy, Jeff Ball, looks like the talkie minstrel and we'll make him that. The players get to choose, like the Kickstarter people get to say, oh, here's a list of NPCs. I want to be red shirt number 4. Yeah, that's immortal. No, they don't get that.
Well, we'll we'll announce the 44, roles basically. And we'll have a set date that people can, you know, choose these, and definitely have a forum for that, probably on Discord, so we're thinking, or some kind of private channel for those 44 backers. Okay. And you know, we'll see what happens. We might have to modify the story a bit, you know, based on gender, for example, or
No. I love this idea. Like, for October, which we're in right now, we dropped everything and we are running an evil campaign, Hell's Vengeance for Pathfinder, first edition, the Foul Play podcast. Shameless plug. But we're also running a contest. We tweeted out saying, hey, you know, retweet this tweet for your chance to do a walk-on cameo. So any fan, listener, or other podcaster that, you know, wants to enjoy the show, we will, you know, we'll find an NPC or find a way to get them on the show so they can be part of, you know, being evil, because it's such a rare thing for players. You were talking about the black chromatic dragons and stuff. In yep. Rogue, you know, it's, you know, not every players get to do this, so we thought it'd be like, what a fun experience, not just for us, but if anyone out there, you know, wants to have a go, we're having a contest for lines, and or, you know, just give us a voice drop. And we thought we were so clever, and now you present us with this, and I'm like, oh man, that is so much more. Like, just to have the cartoon you as an NPC forever being played, you know, like, oh, that would be my dream. Like, you hear in Game of Thrones, the actress that played Ciri, you know, the evil blonde chick queen, right? Sure. And people spit on her. Americans are like, ah, you suck. It's like, it's the actress, guys. It's not the character. Like, what the hell? You know, and she compliments herself for the business going, well, I guess I'm doing a good job at playing this evil character because people hate my guts in person, right? That's going to be a personal dream for me to walk down the street wearing my Rollmonger shirt and my brand, and people don't say that they recognize me from my own stuff. They're like, hey, aren't you red shirt number 4, you know, from Elder Brain? Yeah, that's me. I ponied up $100. Like, that's my new Christmas dream. I'm telling you, that's awesome. That's so great. We will provide every link and every resource that we can in the bio. If you're listening to this podcast form, scroll down, check the bio, below the comments on our YouTube page, at the Rollmongers podcast. If you're watching this later, if you're watching this live, I'll already spam a bunch of links so that everything we've talked about, everything Tom has mentioned, is there for you to access. But Tom, we're out of time. I've been getting in a lot of trouble lately for like having an hour, 2 hour shows when they're supposed to be 20 to 40 minutes to, you know, give people a taste and then let them go on for themselves, not doing, oh, I don't know, what movie did you see, game shows and things like that that burn a lot of time. So we have been talking to Tom Martin, who really has answered a bunch of my questions before I even asked them. He told us what you did for a living. You've talked about the projects you've been doing since you were six. You know, like I really feel bad that if I hog your time now and talk about it now when people could be going to your website right now and exploring your content and, you know, lining up for the Kickstarter. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
We've been talking to Tom Martin, the COO of Elderbrain Incorporated. They have worlds that you can fit into your favorite games like 5th edition D&D, Pathfinder 2nd edition, or just take the material and, you know, for your homebrew. That's the best thing about these independent creators is they take, you know, they're giving you the lore, whatever, but, you know, cut and paste, take what you want. They won't be offended. They're just happy that you're using their stuff. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I am Jeff Ball, GM Jeff Ball on Twitter, and you've been watching Attack of Opportunity Live, and we will see you next time. Goodbye. Good evening. And, well, I hate to date things, but, you know, this is some cool, creepy looking stuff. Happy Halloween, everyone. Say goodnight, Tom.
Good night. Ciao.
I got to run the trailer again. I just love it.